Well, isn't technology wonderful?
Amen.
I love this, that we're able to simulcast this and stream this live. So we've got seven or eight people that I'm aware of that are listening in, and probably some others. So hello, Linda and Barry and Bob and Martha. I think Nancy's listening, and Mary Martino in Wisconsin, and probably some others. So we're glad you can join us, but we still want you to come and see us. So anyways, when I get really excited about sharing, I get a little nervous, and that's good because it keeps telling me I can't do this. It keeps telling me I can't do it, and you don't want to listen to me anyway. And so what you're hearing is revelation that has come from men through the ages. And actually, Linda and Barry even have shared some things with me that have contributed to today's lessons. The thing, though, that I need to do to be tuned in to today, just like, where have I been, you know, all morning? Well, I put these lessons together, and then as we're listening and hearing the previous lessons, I hear more. And so I have to go through and go through them again and update them for today. And so some of the teaching in here has been from men from in the 70s, some from the 6th century. And what I found is a thread. And that thread is the revelation, and we need to stay true to that. Also, especially for those of you who have been listening to the teaching on the Prime Directive, we have to filter whatever we hear through John 4 and James 3. And I don't think anybody's going to disagree that if you're at peace, if there's peace in your heart, the filter's working. I don't know of anybody that would ever disagree with that, no matter what you're doing. So the wisdom that comes from above is first pure. And if peace doesn't follow, you need to stop where you're at. I don't care even if you're hearing truth. If peace isn't following, we need to go backwards and just ask. This is what you ask for. We don't ask for stuff. We don't ask for things. When Jesus said, you will have all things, he was talking about spiritual things. Not more money, not more food. And if you want to go back and really listen to what the Spirit says in the verse, he starts it out and says, why are you taking thought for your life? And then he proceeds to talk to the people of little faith. Well, you're worried about the clothes and you're worried about raiment. And he goes, geez, you know, come on. You should not even be taking thought about your life. Well, why is that? Because we don't have a life to live. And he's trying to draw us out of the illusion. And today, we're going to focus in on what I think is the key that Jesus had to hell and destruction. It is the key. Now, what we've talked about is important up to now. We've talked about the history of man, the ego of man, which is just a reflection of our environment. Isn't that something? Wow. Now, I don't want to live in that. That means I'm controlled by everything but my center, my soul. I don't want to live there, and it's not life. It's called hell and destruction. That's what it's called, and there's no life there. So bear with me. Some of you might have heard some of this, but I have to take it and not only filter it through what we've been sharing this weekend, but what I know from John 4 and John and James. And so I've got to go through other people's words and I've got to filter that stuff out. I'm saying, wait a minute, that doesn't line up, right? So in order for me to give you what I think is the pure message, I've got to rewrite a lot of this stuff. Then when I hear from the Father, I make a lot of recordings. Well, I make the recordings and then I write them out. Why go back and try to remember it? So there's a lot, I'm going to read a lot to you, okay? That's what's going to happen. And in between the lines, we're going to hear some more. So Also, those that you are listening, today's schedule, I talked with Dave last night, told me he's here to listen. So we might have an extra session today if we don't get through this afternoon. I've got 4 pages here, and make sure we take some breaks, but today's going to be sort of a marathon, I sort of warned you. But I think you're going to like it. If you liked the previous ones, you're going to like these better, because it's really, really been uplifting for me, and it's helped me, especially in these last few weeks. And when I talked to Barb and Hannah when they landed, I said, what's coming today has just been happening to me. It's been live. And I've watched it happen inside my soul while these messages are coming up. Well, isn't that wonderful? So I'm just learning this stuff. I'm just learning it just now. So the title of the message is called The Ocean of Time. So there was a man on this earth, no longer visible, and we would recognize him in this world as a very remarkable man. And one of the most remarkable statements ever made by this man has not been heard by most people of the world. And Tony quoted him a couple times ago. I've already quoted him last July, but we're going to start with that quote again. And he said, the distinction between past, present, and future is an illusion. The distinction is an illusion. And he said, it's a very stubborn illusion. Now, this was Albert Einstein, who no one's ever considered to be a mystic. But this was Albert Einstein, who also gave us the theory of relativity, which is very similar to what this says, that the appearances that surround us are an outpicturing of our vision of what we hear and see through our mind, which, as we found out, is a reflection that's coming from out there. What a mess. It's called a whirlwind in the Bible, because we think it's real and it's just all coming from out here. It creates a huge mess. And how will we escape? How will we escape that when we take it personally? It becomes very personal to us. But there's not a single country in this universe that says this, that says the distinction between past, present, and future is an illusion. There isn't a world aware of it or doing anything about it. Religion certainly hasn't, education hasn't, and government isn't, and none of the human race is doing anything about it. They didn't listen to Einstein's, what they're saying. Nobody listened to it. But this statement really makes everything he ever did obsolete. Everything he did becomes obsolete with this one statement. And I believe it contains the clue to your eternal life and the clue to your entrance into the kingdom. So we've heard the words now. We've heard the words. Now, let's feel out and find out where in this reflection am I attached to this? Where am I attached to it that I can't see? Because you can have the words in your head, but if you don't find out where you're attached to it specifically. Rex and I've talked about a couple of places we were attached to it. They had a lot of zeros on it. A lot of people are attached to that particular problem. Maybe it's 1-0, but whatever it is. So this may contain, well, it doesn't may. It contains the clue to your eternal life. The key that opens the door to heaven on earth. I believe it contains everything you've been seeking. It's the answer to everything you're seeking. So we need to look at these words. What do they mean? What does it mean that there's no distinction between past, present, and future? He's telling us that time is not passing by. That's what he's saying. Time isn't passing by. And even in a lot of his research, you find that. I remember studying, I was a math and science major originally in school. I went for engineering, and I love the sciences. And I remember they started talking about a fifth dimension beyond the structure of the atom. And they said they found something in there, and they became suspicious. Remember that? We've been talking about the suspicion of righteousness, the intuition of righteousness. They were looking at the atom, and they discovered there was some other kind of activity. But you know what they said? They couldn't see it. And I thought, well, if they could see it, it'd be a smiley face of God and said, "You found me. Here I am. It's me." Yeah. That's what I thought. I don't know if that's... It probably is, isn't it? It's me. Outside of everything you can see. Isn't that something? Outside of everything you can see. So Einstein's telling us time actually has no real existence as we know it. That tomorrow isn't going to become today, ever. And today isn't going to become yesterday. That there is no distinction between yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so he's saying there is no such thing as time. There is no such thing as time. And that's why you've said in the thing, remember I said we needed to shoot the clock? Well, I said that months ago and I didn't know what I was saying until 2 weeks ago. I didn't know what I was saying. And the truth I'm bringing you today, I've been listening to for 3 months over and over and over again, the same thing. Well, why couldn't I get it the first time? Because there was all of these tentacles on my mind that it had to start plucking one by one by one. I said, oh, that means that's not real. And that means this isn't real. And that means this isn't real. And I'd my ego would say, oh, well, I believe that. I've known that. And you're going to find, I'm going to list you some things I taught months ago that say the same thing, and I didn't know it. Well, obviously it wasn't my word, was it? Because I didn't even know what I was saying. And here it comes, you know. So here we go. So he's saying there is no such thing as time, that time simply is not passing. Time isn't passing, and that time is an illusion of the senses. It's produced completely by our senses, 100%. So right away, the mind, okay, we're still sort of, as Kathy says, we're going in and out, so we better talk to the mind now, because it's one of the main arteries that's connected to our problems that we've been talking about now since Friday night. And that's why I want to talk to it a lot, because that's a main artery that's creating problems for us. That's the main one. And off of that probably is the tentacles, right? So that's where we think our life supply is this ego, right? So the mind wants proof. So you're saying, well, did somebody else say this? And as a matter of fact, they did. So I'm going to list them for you. So Einstein saw the illusion of time. He saw that time was not passing. So when you stop to think what he was saying, you ask yourself, did Jesus say this too? And you're going to be so shocked. Oh, right away, your mind's going to say, oh yeah, I've read verses about time. But you're still connected to your artery. Come on now. You're still connected to the artery, the egocentric artery, right? That's going to go up in smoke someday. It's going to be gone. Then what do you have? So I had to go, Jocelyn, I had to go get those verses of the wisdom again, because when I got to the end of this, I went and read those wisdom verses, and I go, holy cow, what an outline. I just did, I get the holy goosebumps, as Tony calls it, when I read this, and I go back and I read those wisdom verses again. Because it's going to sum up everything we're going to say today again. And it summed it up yesterday, and it's going to sum it up for eternity, because it's an outline of what we're talking about today. So were there, did Jesus say it? Absolutely. We're going to give you some scripture. Were there other spiritual leaders that taught this? And you're going to find out once you're aware of this incredible revelation that time simply is not passing, that you're going to find all kinds of evidence piling up. Now that we've got a clear picture, you're going to see it everywhere. You're going to see it. You don't have to listen to me. You're going to see it. You're going to see it piling up everywhere. And so, as this is piling up, the Bible will spring to life with passages you've never dreamed about, because we were so busy going to and fro across the earth in the consciousness of time, you simply haven't seen it. And who said it? Have you ever heard this truth before in any religious circle? Well, if you've heard it, you don't know it. So what good did it do you? It's just all mental knowledge that we think. We think when God doesn't judge us, he's not judging our ego. God says, I don't see your ego. What do you mean, judge your ego? What's an ego? God doesn't see any of that stuff. That's why we're in the wrong room. So, here we go. Plato, the 3rd century. The entire visible creation is an imperfect copy of the invisible. The imperfect copy is in time, created by our senses. The perfect is outside time and outside space. This is the 3rd century. So now, who does this truth belong to? Nobody. Not a person. I'm sure Einstein and others had read it as well. But they discovered it as reality, though, when they said it. Now, can you say it and know what it means? They discovered it as reality. Meister Eckhart, the 13th century. There is no past or present or future. All is an illusion. Now, he probably read it when he read Plato. But here it became real in his life when he said it. He knew what it meant then. We are going to quote things we don't know what, if they don't know what they mean. Not embrace them. And of course, we blab away all the time, you know, talking about nothing. But this is serious business we're talking about. This is serious stuff. Jacob Boehm, who I've studied, he said, man has fell asleep in time. Man has fell asleep in time. William Law, who I've studied, who is a universalist, by the way, who was a student of Jacob Boehm. The greater part of mankind may be said to be asleep. The learned and the ignorant, the rich and the poor, all are in the same state of slumber, passing away a short life in a different kind of dream. Wow. I feel it, don't you?
Yeah.
I feel it. Can we confess that right now? Can we confess that? Are we listening to that? Or are we just going to hear the words? Are we listening to it? That we're in a dream? That we might still be in a dream? The dream, I know, I see the dream. It bothers me. Now I'm finding it's not real. And it's driving me towards the light. It's pushing me. The truth is pushing me. I'm not making a decision to go there. I'm just tired of running from the flames. What was that? What was this? And how do I fix that? And I'm just tired of all that, you know. And I want some relief. Yeah. Barb said it's exhausting. Absolutely. Swedenborg, Kierkegaard, which were philosophers, but I like philosophy. Here they both stated that in order to know yourself, you have to go beyond the illusion of time, because you and time is not the true self. The you and time is not the true self. So we've got to go over and over and over this. When we were motorcycle riding, Rex, through Indiana, I listened over and over and over to messages that came to me, messages I spoke and didn't understand, and other teaching. And each time I listened, a little piece of the illusion fell away. Each time. That's why I say you've got, this is what you've got to meditate on. This, you've got to meditate on this. Don't go in and think you know anything. Because if you think you know something, it'll block the revelation. It will block it. That's the ego. Let it go. Just let go of it. Now, are there others? Yes, let's move into this century. Joel Goldsmith. This is in the New Horizons. It's also the last wisdom in his Book of Wisdoms. But it's in the New Horizons chapter of the Infinite Way. And he talks about it quite a bit. If it happens in time and space, put no value in the appearances, but look again at it with your soul. If it happens in time and space, put no value in the appearances. Now, if this gets surrounded by other truths that don't quite line up with this, which I've found, even within some of these teachers, it clouds the pure understanding. That's why I've had to go in and rewrite this. It's a lot of work. Don't look at me. I'm just saying, this doesn't line up with what you just said. I'm seeing contradictions, and I've had to filter them out. Now, there might be some in mine, and if there are, come and tell me, okay? Because I want to give you a clear message. I want to give you something you can sink your teeth into, right? So Joel says, if it happens in time or space, put no value in the appearances. He didn't say put some value. He said put no value in the appearances. Now, does that mean the appearances are bad? No. If we apply the spiritual filter, right, it says don't judge by the appearances. So if we're saying the appearance is bad, we're violating the prime directive. It's not the appearances that's bad, it's our judgment of the appearances that's bad and traps us into time. Hello? The prime directive. Judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. We have to filter this through that prime directive. We have to, or we're going to end up judging ourselves for not knowing that time isn't here. You know, that's all ego. Let go of it. Let go of what you think you know. Don't try to study it. Listen to it. You can't debate it. You can't debate it. You can't question it to death because you'll just get stuck. Listen. Listen to it. We don't care who says it. So here's Joel. Now here's another character called Michael Nevins who said some stuff. And I'm telling you, I didn't know what I was saying like I do today. That's why I've had to keep listening over. And I'm sure we're going to learn more about it because I'm going to keep teaching this until I can't say anything more about it. Okay? Because there's a lot more coming in the next lessons. Not today, but as we go, there's more. So back in January 2011, I gave a message of time shall be no more. And I said, desire removes us from the present moment. Now, why is that? We talked about that yesterday. Where does desire live? Where is our desire at? It's attached to something that isn't here, right? It's attached to passing time. Desire is in the future. If we're desiring something we don't have, it means we don't have it. Hello. Hello, is this thing on? No, this thing went off. Are we still recording? Do I need this? We good? Okay, great. Just want to make sure. Desire removes us from the present moment. Judging by what we see and what we hear removes us from the present moment. Salvation is only available and operative in the present moment. You will only know your rest when you know that time is no more. Now, these are quotes from those lessons, okay? And then I used, when I was writing this down now fresh, I said, well, how about Sodom and Gomorrah? It's a story of us. Now, we attach ourselves to all the descriptions and all the debauchery that's going on, but it's a story of the mind of man. And isn't it interesting that when the story was all done, it said that they would be as if they never were. They would be as if they never were. That's a time statement. They would be as if they never were. Everything that we do under the sun, Solomon says, is vanity. Now, what we do isn't the issue, is it? It's our judgment of what we do. And I've heard no one say that. I've never heard anyone say that. Because if we don't say it that way, we're going to go around and judge everything. Right? So we have to add the prime directive to all of these wonderful men's teaching. Thank God for what they've said. But it's got to be filtered through the prime directive of righteous judgment. And I don't care what anybody says. If you might have taught righteousness for 50 years, but you've had it all wrong. Because you can't understand righteousness until you attach the word judgment in front of it. And you can't understand judgment until you attach the word righteousness to it. You won't. You'll get it wrong. You'll live an egocentric life in a time realm. You talk righteousness, 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 righteousness. It's just a feeling. You just blab away about it. But if you don't understand righteous judgment, you don't understand either word. Because those two together change the meaning of both words individually. It completely changes the meaning. Isn't that something? Completely changes it. So that's why we talked about it yesterday. In a lesson in August 2011, last year's seminar, and I remember even Elaine commenting on this particular teaching on what is reality. I taught on what is reality. It says, nothing that is real can ever change or have any variation. Nothing that is real can ever change or have any variation. Now, we talked about when I read, hi, Bob, I read your email to the guys yesterday, and Bob said that righteous judgment, or we were talking about, he was quoting saying, it's called eternal love. Well, eternal love never changes. That's why you put the word eternal in front of it. It's not conditional love. It's eternal love. So that means it's always been the same. It's never changed. That's what we're talking about here. Righteous judgment is eternal love. Never changes. Nothing that is real, and I learned this when I was in Calvinism. I learned nothing that is real is ever out of order. But I was still believing in a God that rewards and punishes. I just thought what Job said in chapter 2, that shall we not accept both good and evil from the hand of the Lord? I preached that till I was blue in the face. And then I realized that that was Job's mind struggling with his spirit, and whoops, it was the beginning of the book. I had to go to the 42nd chapter to find the answer. Hello. It wasn't untrue. It was just Job, and I thought at the time there was a devil running around to and fro across the earth. I didn't know that's our mind. That's us following our mind around to and fro across the earth. Now I know. So here we go. Nothing that is real is ever out of order. All things only exist within the present moment. God only lives in the present moment, and he sees everyone who's been born and everyone who will be born already in the kingdom of God. He sees that. He sees it. Why can't we see it? Because we're trapped in time, judging the world by appearances. We've got to add on to the trap of time. We've got to screw on the prime directive of don't judge by appearances, being, and I said yesterday, don't judge by appearances, the trap of time, but judge righteous judgment, which is eternal love. That brings them all together. All things only exist within the present moment and have to be perfect, have to be in perfect order outside of time and space. This is the spiritual realm, and so as we partake of the tree of judgment, which operates by the mind and the senses of man, we are pulled back into a sleep realm where we are again seeing things out of order and then judging by appearances. Now, I was talking a lot about judging by appearances, but it's really the same, synonymous with it is the trap of time. I just wasn't aware of it till recently, that they're the same, they're synonymous, they're the same thing. Being trapped in time causes us to judge by appearances. Judging by appearances causes us to be trapped in time. We've got to go out and blow them both up. Put them in a jar, get your dynamite out, get rid of them, okay? You will never see or hear reality because the Father dwells beyond the appearances where no man can approach unto. Who's this man? No man has ever seen God. We talked about yesterday. No man. So as long as you think you're a man, you're going to seek a God in time and space. It's the wrong God. It isn't the right God. Jehovah, the time God, Bob was talking about that too. Thanks, Bob. The time God. We will seek a time God, right? Yeah, hello. If we're trapped in time, we're seeking a time God. It's not the real God. There's no way to get out of it. No way to get around it. That's where you're at. Now, we better go back now and re-examine what we think we know. We better. Let's not play around with this, okay? That's the purpose of these meetings this weekend. Let's not play around with this. In your own heart, expose it so we can start pulling these tentacles in, right? Let's say, Father, show me where they're at. And guaranteed, he'll show you. Guaranteed. He wakes me up all the time. Middle of the night. So, did Jesus say it? Here we go. Here we find that not only did Jesus say it, but he said that it was what ushered in the kingdom. Ephesians 1:10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, let's look at this verse. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, everything that you've judged in time is being brought into one place. The fullness of all of your beliefs, all of it, he has gathered into one thing. He says right here, he might gather in one all things in Christ. Everything that you've ever dreamed that's been in time goes up in smoke. We're going to read it in the Wisdoms of Solomon. It says it over, and it says it several times and in several verses, the same phrase. Hello. That's what this means. We can't interpretate this verse when we have time sense correctly. You can't. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And I remember Martha telling me last summer. She said, and this is a verse, but I remember when she said it, I understood what it meant. And she said, Jesus was the firstborn over creation. He conquered creation. That's what it's talking about. He was the firstborn over creation, over the judgment of appearances. Wasn't he? Isaiah 11:3, he would not judge by what he saw or reprove by what he heard. It was his M.O. before he ever came. Isaiah read it and said, this is this guy's M.O. This is how he operates. So every solution to every human problem that our world faces today is sought in time. Why is that? We've said it over and over again. If we're seeking a solution to our problem, we're living in the future. Because we obviously don't have it. If we had the solution, then we wouldn't have a problem anymore, would we? So if we're seeking a solution, we're trapped in time. Every solution, every human problem the world faces today is sought in time. And that is why the solution does not come. Now, what's a solution? Well, it needs to be a permanent solution, not a temporary solution. We want a permanent solution. We want to live. We want peace. We want joy. We don't want a little bit of peace. We don't want what C.S. Lewis says and just have stabs of joy. I want a little more than a stab, don't you? I'd like a little more than a stab. Maybe a few minutes would be better than a stab. How about a cut? You know, or I don't know. But I mean, think about it. If you've got a big problem and the solution comes, you're just sitting there shaking a little bit, just waiting for the next one to come. Well, what's coming next, you know? There is no joy in that. We think there is, and we take a deep breath, you know? We take a deep breath, but then right away, that joy starts to dissipate because we get suspicious, we get nervous. So it's not the answer. It's not the answer. Changing your environment, getting rid of a problem, will never satisfy you. If you can't learn to be satisfied in this moment, you'll never be satisfied. So you've got to start today, wherever you're at. Today is the day of salvation. Today it is, right now. We have to start today. Every human problem is sought in time, and that is why the solution does not come. We are going to become aware that there is a universe outside of time, and that the universe inside time is not the creation of God, and the universe outside time is. This is the kingdom. You're going to become very aware that there is a self of you outside time, and that the self of you in time is an illusion and is not supported by the divine protection of God. Uh-oh. That makes you nervous, doesn't it? Whoa, I thought God was protecting me in hell. Now, you can talk to him in hell. David did. Right? Jonah did. You can talk to him in hell. But he's saying, what the hell are you doing in hell? What the hell are you doing down there? Nevins? What's going on in hell? I'm sure he is. Come on out. Come up higher. Boy, you're going to find that you're not supported by divine protection of God in the time zone, in the Eastern time zone or the Pacific time zone or any other time zone. You are not protected by God. Why is that? It's the same answer I've been telling you. Because the activity of man in time is not governed. And why? Because man lives in time. And when man lives in time, he's living in the future. And he's afraid of the past. When you're living in time, you're living in the future. God doesn't live in the future. Hello? That's why man, stuck in time, is not supported by the providence of God. That's why there is no such thing as the future. We've been saying it now over and over and over again, but we can't hear it, right? Because we think God's been protecting us, right? And so we've been praying to this time God. And God in Isaiah said, you've been praying to gods that can't save you. And so if you're praying to a God, hello, he's not real. Hello. If you're praying to a God, he can't hear you. He says, what the hell are you doing, Nevins, in hell? That's what he's saying. What are you doing? Come up higher. There's a different realm. It's a different room. It's a totally different room. We're in the wrong room. And you open the door, you turn, you step 1 foot in the kingdom, or you think you have, and then you've got a problem, and you turn right around and march right back through the door. And so you're going back, and we've wore a path on the threshold of the kingdom of God. It's all wore out. There's, yeah, we're going to have to make it out of titanium if we keep this up. Because it's the only thing that'll hold up. So, because when man lives in time, he is living in the future, and you need to realize right now that God does not live there and never has. But where is God? Where is the Father? Why could David talk to him in hell? Because he was right here. He was in here. He went with him. He was there. And he said, in hell I cried out unto God. In hell. Eventually you're going to have to face this, not as an opinion, because it's going to be scripturally authorized, and we're going to continue to give you more scripture. You're going to have to see that our world does not contain time, but time contains our world. Our world is in time, and my kingdom is not of this world in time. And therefore, the kingdom of God is placed outside of time. The kingdom of God dwells outside of time. So you've never been there. You've never even stepped foot in there if you've believed in passing time. Not a foot. We've bad suspicions. Our ego thinks we know. We've tried to bring the kingdom into this world. We're trying to bring peace into this world. We got excited when the president got up and read out of the Psalms. But we didn't get excited when the Taliban read the Quran. What's that all about? We should get excited about both of them, if that's real, right? But what's that? That's the good and the evil. So whatever good you're fighting in the world, let it go like a hot rock. Now, we're not here to judge it, but don't call it good either. And don't call it bad. It's of this world. And we want to escape from that, okay? That's what we want to escape from. So, my kingdom is not of this world in time, and therefore the kingdom is placed outside of time, and that is why we haven't discovered it. That's why we haven't discovered the kingdom. And your true self, yourself that does not die, is equally placed outside of time. Equally. The self that does not die. And that's why we haven't discovered that. That's why we squall and bawl when somebody leaves. Or we say they've left and got sick or have health problems and are gone because they're weak. That's all cursing. That's not coming from the love of God. Judge not by appearances. Judge not by the activity in this world. The only thing that's immortal The only thing that dwells outside of time is your soul, and it was eternal before the world was founded. Why? How could that be? You know, back when I, you know, understood time, I thought, well, eternity is a million times a trillion, million trillion years, you know. Well, by then you'd quit counting, wouldn't you? Yeah. And then when you realize there's no such thing as time, you go, wow. I didn't exist forever before or forever afterwards. Yeah, I didn't exist for any of those. Eternal life has nothing to do with time. Nothing has changed in this soul, which is what I am. So you got to stop believing you're a human being that calls on God. You've got to stop. Our whole Bible was given to us to deliver us out of that. Right? But we don't know the beginning from the end. We smush them all together and call it a holy Bible and say it's the Word of God. But it's the Word of man coming out of a time zone is what it is. It's a story of people just like us going from death to life, entering into a place where time will be no more. Hello, that's in Revelation. And as you start digging, you're going to find more and more and more. And when you read Scripture and you filter it through the prime directive and the fact that there is no time, it's going to come alive. I've never understood Ephesians 1:10 the way I do now. But it says there in the fullness of time. Well, what's that mean? The fullness of time. Is that like a big steak dinner? Yeah. That's not what it's talking about. Okay. The law of perfection is outside time, and that's why you don't see a perfect mortal being anywhere. That's why everybody disappears. That's what Solomon was talking about. That's what Peter talked about. We are as a vapor that appeareth for a time and vanisheth away. We sure put a lot of creed into a vapor, don't we? We attach all kinds of things to it. Well, it's got to be a pretty dense vapor to hang on to all that stuff. But it's called a mist. And the wisdoms of Solomon, I almost want to go and read them, but I'm going to wait. Because it says the same thing. So at this point, I want to ask you to accept what I feel today is the most important revelation. Tomorrow, today, yesterday are not created by God. They are created by your time sense. And it's a very subtle thing, this time sense. And this is what Einstein said when he said that the distinction between past, present, and future is an illusion. And he said it's a very stubborn illusion. It's very stubborn because our ego doesn't like to die. Our ego wants to hang on to something. My gosh, can I hang on to a little bit of something? Just, you know, how about an old junker that's rusted out? Can I just have that, God? Come on now. Be nice to me. Be compassionate to me. Right? I'm saving that for tomorrow. Because I shook up the whole universe when I said compassion was an awful word. All the mothers just shivered when I said that. But it's true. I don't want compassion from God. I want the truth. Jesus didn't say I'm the way, the compassion, and the life. I want truth. Now, it doesn't mean we don't care about people. Don't get me wrong. That's probably why they were shuddering. You can still care about people. But we don't need mercy anymore. We don't need compassion anymore. We are the light. We are the life. You can't be compassionate towards someone in hell if you're the light. You've got to shine a light on them. Shine the light on them. Don't get to say, oh, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. They want to punch you. They do. They want to punch you. It'll be all right. You're all right in hell. It's good. It's all right. I was supposed to save that for tomorrow, so I probably have to come up with another lesson now. Oh, well. There it goes. Here we go. Okay. So this subtle thing, when tomorrow comes, it's not tomorrow becoming today. And today isn't going to become yesterday. So where does this concept come from? It comes from your human sense of self, the false center we talked about yesterday morning. Then as our egocentric consciousness develops, we form a concept called this world, which is really our world. And every human being that thinks he's a man on the face of the earth has a this world, has an our world. And why do you think there's all the turmoil and conflict? Because none of them are the same. What I want in my world isn't what you want in your world. Boy. Now you've got a nuclear bomb going off. You do. Yeah. That's where the friction is. And there's even more friction because it's entirely a dichotomy to your soul. And that's why there's all this awful language in there in the Bible called the devil and evil and wickedness. And we think that's got to be somebody else because I'm a nice person. And it's talking about your mind, the serpent of Eden, the devil, Leviathan, the beast, and the false prophet. All of it rolled into one. And I'm going to read you a verse at the end. It's going to shock you because it says that. I love that when I find those. We then form another concept called body, humanhood. Things, objects. Always we look at the one eternal life and our time sense creates another. This is the double-mindedness that's talked about in James. You can't have both. You can't be both human and divine. You can't. You can't be mortal and immortal at the same time. Right? Okay, thank you. Somebody's listening. So, we have another concept called body, humanhood, things, objects. Always we look at the one eternal life and our time sets creates another life, which I have been given a human name to. So we dealt with that yesterday. I've been given a human name to my ego. It's called Michael Olin. I remember my mom hollered out the window when I was young, "Michael Olin, you get back here." Now, when she used my middle name, I knew I was in trouble. Right? So I usually wouldn't come home. I said, "Mom, I couldn't hear you." She said, "It was a racket. There was a tractor going or something. You know, I'm sorry. What would you like me to do?" Well, it's always clean my room or do something, you know, I didn't want to do, right? We look at the kingdom through our time sense, but we create another universe called our world. And in our world, we were told, when our world began, we were told we would die. If you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And so, in death, we're dying, not living. We ate. We have been. We might still be eating from the tree of good and evil. And when you eat from it, you will die. And you will have to work out a living by the sweat of your brow, and in children, you'll bear sorrow. Now, what does that mean? Is that just talking about childbirth? No. It's talking about in your world, you'll have sorrow in this world. So, wherever there is one, capital O, because of our fractional time sense, we form the idea of a second, or even many, when only one exists. And when this happens, we live and dwell in our concept. We live in the me. And we keep this me in the same passing time that we think is here. And because we live inside the concept of passing time, fully expecting time to pass, now listen to this, fully expecting time to pass, and it does, we pass right along with it. We think we die. We think we die. And believe me, the ego's gonna die. It's already called a vapor. Now, where is yesterday? Where did it go? It just vanished. It just vanished. All that remains that's tangible is truth. Yesterday's gone. It's as you've never had it. Where is it? You can't touch it. You can't reclaim it. There's nothing you can do with it. It's gone. And yet you're convinced you had it. But did you? Was yesterday yesterday or was yesterday now? Yesterday was now. Yesterday was now. It's the same now as now. And it's the same now that'll come tomorrow, which will never get here. Hello, are you following me?
Yes.
Now is now. There is nothing but now. There's only life now. You don't have a life that was yesterday, and you won't have a life tomorrow. And I think we sort of already know that, but we haven't understood the problem that this big artery is causing us. The egocentric artery. I'm going to make it real wide so I can put egocentric in like Times New Roman font, size 42. The time man, you know? And so tomorrow and today will go the same way. Every day vanishes, and of course, a little something of each of us vanishes with it every day. Until finally, all of the lifespan that we have claimed to be real also vanishes, and we vanish with it. That lifespan, that vanishing lifespan, is only our passing time sense about our permanent life, which we cannot, through our time sense, perceive. That is why all the mystics that we have followed have called it the hypnotism of time sense, that we have mistakenly called time. Great, we're moving along here. Good. So we're beginning to understand why these mystics have warned us to find our real life outside time. We're beginning to see that time sense has divided that which cannot be divided into a life outside time, which is permanent, and a life inside time, which we think is temporary. We think our life's temporary. One exists, and one seems to exist. The illusion, the vapor, the vanity, the mist, it's all over Scripture. So, our purpose today is to get to the bottom of what appears to be passing time and then come to the realization that all passing time is really dying time. Passing time is dying time. It's the same thing. And that because we live in dying time, we naturally die. We think we die. I go to funerals, don't you? I sit there and whoo, hey, you know, and everybody carries on. And boy, I want to pick on the Hebrews, but they're awful. And so are the Muslims. I mean, they cry and wail for weeks. You know what? And you know why? You know, the Jews believe in annihilation. Until the Lord comes back and raises them out of the grave, they're just sleeping. That's what they think. And we've believed that too. We believed in a rapture. All religion comes out of Hebrewism. All religion has been birthed out of Hebrewism. Everybody, Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, it's all Hebrewism. Everything in dying time dies, but God never created dying time. Passing time is just a pleasant word for dying time. Just trying to be nice. We color everything in our human experience with the invisible dying nature of our time sense. It is as if you're looking through rose-colored glasses and everything is pink because you live in a dying sense of time. You expect time to pass, to die. And then while you live in that dying time, that's exactly what you do too. So to abide in truth, you must come to the conclusion that not only is time not passing, but it is impossible for events to pass in time. Ooh, that's a big one. That's like the compassion thing. Got a knife in there. We'll come back to that. We're going to spend some time on that one, okay? But not today. The world we see in our judgment of the appearances is an illusion in time. And this is precisely the reason Jesus had to tell us that his kingdom was not of this world. He kept saying it. He said, "Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Within you. Not out here in the visible. It's within you. And it will carry you no matter what you believe. It will carry you no matter what you believe. This is why we don't need to save men. This is why we don't need to convert anybody. We need to see everyone already in. And then tell them about it. Tell them they're already in. And try to teach them that their only enemy is their own mind. Their ego. That's the only enemy. So, oh boy, I should put numbers on these things, forgive me. Yeah, here we go. I have to come, let's see, let me mark this real quick, okay? Because I got to come back here. All right, there we go, I'm back. Thank you. Sorry. Now, yeah, I got a number of these pages, especially when there's 7 or 8 of them. Somehow they got out of order there. Now, I want to remind everybody that these lessons today are a compilation of a lot of people's work. Okay? Don't look at me. Just listen to me. Okay? Just listen to what this says. It's all in line. It all lines up. It all is just wonderfully connected. Okay? So listen to this story. Okay? I'm going to read you. We have thought that the story of Noah was a very interesting one with many important points. But one point we have not seen is that the flood, which consumed the world at the time of Noah in the Bible, record of that event came upon the earth. And it was a spiritual message that Moses was telling us. Can we accept that? Can we accept the stories of the Bible that are their allegories? Can we listen to the allegory instead of think people were actually just dying And that might have happened. Let's not argue about that, okay? Let's get the spiritual story. Let's listen to the spiritual story, okay? The water of the flood that came upon the earth was a spiritual message that Moses was telling us. And he was telling us about the flood of time. The flood of time. The ark represents a symbol of the soul, which, like Jesus, walks upon the water of time. The ark is a symbol of God's solution in man to enable him to move through the illusion of time so that he may enter eternity outside time. Noah represents you in your new enlightened consciousness, walking out of the illusion of passing time. In your ark, your soul, you are not deceived by the senses. You are not confined. You are not imprisoned in time. In the ark, you do not drift with the tide. The ark drifts in the tide. Waters may come and consume the world, but you are prepared to stop following your judgment of the appearances. So we don't feel what the body feels. To move across the ocean of time, we need to begin to unsee it, unfeel it, and realize that this ocean, this invisible ocean that drowns the whole of the human race, is not there. Noah did this in the ark of his soul. All had been united into oneness. All the twos are gone. All was one. And you, like Noah, are being called upon and have been called upon to go through the flood of time, the mystical ocean of time within your own consciousness. We are now looking, right now, at the first resurrection. We're going to talk about the first resurrection, which is the story of Noah and the ark. And that first resurrection brings you to the place where you shatter the illusion of passing time to literally walk upon the waters of time in Christ awareness. The mystery of the ocean of time has deceived and confused the human race since the beginning of time itself. Your Bible is devoted to leading you, to leading the human race across the ocean of time into eternity. Unfortunately, religion has not understood the great secret hidden in the story of Noah and the ark, namely that the human race, the entirety, the whole of the human race is drowning in the ocean of time. That's what the story represents. Every living thing. Why did he say every living thing when there was a bunch of people in the ark? You look at it, it says every living thing perished. Well, what kind of living thing was that? Those that thought they were living in time. Everybody in time perishes. And the story of Noah was about man drowning in the ocean of time. That's what it was about. It's strange how we've missed it, but you're going to find that time, banished from your consciousness, represents a new landmark in your life. It's as if all other things become obsolete. The 40 days of the flood, like the 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness, represent you outside of time. So the flood is the same thing that the New Testament calls out as wilderness. Who was John? A voice crying from the wilderness. A voice crying in the wilderness. Jesus was driven by his human mind into the wilderness and was tempted of his own mind. Oops, the devil, it said. He was tempted by his own mind. He shall not live by bread alone. And now listen to this verse. And the devil, taking him up to a high mount, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Wow, here we go. It's a roller coaster, this truth. It's a straight one, though. But I mean, we're starting to head down the hill, and you're going to find the scripture come alive to you. The devil showed him the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time, because that's the only place they exist. It's the only place they exist. And I get going and I lose my place. So, strengthening your consciousness that passing time and the world in passing time and the you in passing time are part of a universal hypnotism. Only then will you begin to become ready for all the temptations of this world and time. The temptations. Same thing Jesus went through. The temptations in time. So ask yourself, what was Moses revealing when he wrote that the flood destroyed all flesh on the earth? All flesh on the earth. The flesh represents the mind of man. All flesh on the earth, fowl, cattle, beast, every creeping thing, every man, even mountains were covered. All life and everything that had substance was destroyed. We have all thought of that as an event in the midst of yesterday. But Moses was trying to awaken us with eyes to see, to the shocking truth that the flood of time buries every man. The flood of time buries every man. Every nation, every civilization. And unless we build a consciousness, an ark that can overcome the false flood of time into which every man is born, like Noah does, time will continue to fool us, to deceive us into a false existence that ends. Noah's soul stood firm in the eternal now, where there is no opposite. There is no deception in the sea of sense by the illusions that parade as reality. And so it is said that God quickened the wind. When you quicken time, it vanishes. That quickening which makes time vanish is a spiritual awakening that is actually a mystical description of your first resurrection. There it is again. The first resurrection in the Bible is our first step into the kingdom, and it's when we stop believing in passing time. It's all over. The first resurrection. It's unrecognized in the religions in a world of time, but it's the path of learning now to cross the ocean of time, not out there, but an ocean of time that exists only within yourself. And in overcoming this passing time within, you will discover the doorway to heaven here and now. And we've been talking about that. We've been standing at the threshold, peering in from the edge of hell into the kingdom of God. We've been, you know, we went through hell. We're at the edge of it. We see the door. I talked about it back in Australia. I said, you know, the pathway to heaven is at the other end of hell. It's clear at the other end. The doorway to the kingdom is in hell. Has to be, because that's where you were. Isn't that something? And here he says, man has to be born of water and then of spirit. So every man must swim through the ocean of time to find the door to the kingdom. That's not a vicarious thing. That's something you have to realize. You. It's not going to help you to sit there and say, Jesus loves me, this I know, and repeat it over and over and over again, which I've done thousands of times in Vacation Bible School. Jesus loves all the little children. It doesn't help. In our enlightened state, we watch today, Boy. In our unenlightened state, we watch today flow into yesterday. It is drowned. It is gone. It is no more. We watch tomorrow float in today. We do. Hello. Me, I'm telling you. We watch tomorrow float into today. What is it that's floating into today? All of our fears are coming. I know it's coming. I know what's coming. Because the answer to my problem's out there. I hope it's a good one. But this is why we live in fear. Right? Because we're waiting for something to happen tomorrow. We're hoping something happens tomorrow to deliver me from my hell today, but it hasn't been working. It doesn't work. So we watch tomorrow float into today and again float into yesterday. It is drowned, gone, no more. Each day rises up and drowns into the past and takes with it a part of us. We are literally watching ourselves drown in passing time. We are watching ourselves drown in passing time. Until we become fish, swimmers, enlightened ones, living souls, walking on the water of time, aware that we are not matter, imprisoned in passing time, we will not live. This is why all through the New Testament, there was talk about fishes all the time. You shall be fishers of men. And every time he broke the bread, there was fish there too. The bread represents the body of man dying in time. What does the fish do? He swims through the ocean of time, not affected by the tide and the waves, doesn't he? He's underneath it all, right? We'll have some teaching about that as well. So we want to be little fishes, right? Fishers of men. This is why you don't want to have compassion on people in hell. It doesn't work anyway. Right? We want to be fishers of men. Tell people who they are and tell them who their enemy is. Now, they might punch you when you say that, but tell them anyway. There'll be an opportunity. That's why it's good just to confess. That's why I like to tell you about my struggles so you can relate to those and then say, yeah, I've had that too. And you feel comfortable, right? That's how you tell the message. You know, say, well, I've been in hell. That's just what it's like. So, we are not matter imprisoned in passing time. We are the invisible self. The immortal self, the spiritual self. There is no time in this true self. We, the spirit, is not passing. It's not going anywhere. And we can't mistake that for the ego, and that's part of the problem. This artery is so big that whenever we feel something good, right away it's like a magnet. Oh yeah, I'm a great person. Why did it take God so long to figure that out? You know, Jesus loves me, this I know. You're wonderful. You're holy. Well, we've attached it all to the artery. Yeah. All of it we've attached to the artery. And so it just puffs us up. The knowledge of it just puffs us up. We don't get anywhere. So we're applying the truth to the wrong thing. So, there is no time in the true self. We are not passing. You have now an opportunity to understand that the world has what the world has failed to see, to really follow the Christ teaching of living outside time in the kingdom of God here and now. Now we know, it's funny, I shouldn't say it's funny. We know the kingdom of God isn't in time. We know that. We know God isn't controlled by time. We know that. So why haven't we been living there? Because we've been believing in two worlds. We've been, Joel calls it, trapped between two worlds. We've been living between there. We don't need to. And when you get there, you'll find, wow, what was that all about? You know? I sure followed all that stuff around like a mad dog after a dog bone, you know. Followed it around thinking there was life in it. So, don't look at the results, guys, okay? This is why the prime directive is so important, because if you look to the results, you'll be looking at the artery. You can't judge by appearances, and I have not seen anyone, and this, don't attribute this to me, it was a suspicion the Spirit brought to me 2 years ago, and it's taken me 2 years to really understand it. I didn't come up with it. We can't look at the results. We can't say, boy, I'm in the kingdom of God now, and tomorrow I'll be driving a Mercedes-Benz. You can't. You can't, because what do? You go into the future. Can we live a month and be thankful for what we have? Can we do it 1 month? Now, do we have to go around? Do we have to go into the doctor and have him sew our lips shut to do this? Be still and know that I'm God. Hello? If that's what you got to do, I'll help you, okay? I got a needle and some thread, okay? We can get one of those dog muscles, you know, and put it on. And you just sit there, you know, because that's all we're doing anyway. Right? Is that what we got to do? Because it says, and this is the will of God, that you be thankful in all things.
Oh, yeah.
2 Thessalonians, hello. Come in. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, she says. Thessalonians, I got the right book. 1 Thessalonians 5. To be thankful in all things. Wow, that's a big one, isn't it? To be thankful with your job. To be thankful with your mate. To be thankful for your home. Be thankful for your car.
Or lack of car.
Whatever you got. How can you walk in this thankfulness continually? How can you? Because we're very critical, the ego is. And why? Because nothing will line up with our world. Nothing lines up with our world. So we've got internal friction, and then everybody's view of their own world has external friction. And you end up at war. You end up at war. That's where it all comes from. It all comes, and that's why when Charles Manson stood up and looked at the parole board and said, you've made me who I am, they should have all raised their hands. They said, well, we're going to come in prison with you for a couple years then. See if we can all get out. Now, it doesn't mean we need to let him out, but I'm just saying, we got to rise above that and realize what he's saying is, everyone's contributing to this world hypnotism of man dying in time. Everyone. We all. The ego is certainly guilty. Not you. Not you. The ego. So, the Bible talks about that we are now going to lay down the human garments. That's what it means. By put on the garment of immortality, Paul said. Put on the garment of your concept outside of time. Immortality is something that never dies. We don't believe we're immortal. And we shouldn't. If we're dwelling within the egocentric world that judges by appearances, we can't get relief there. Because everything's dying right in front of us. Everything. Our human concepts, laying aside the human garments. block us from coming directly into the awareness of the Father. And the only way we'll come in is to realize that time is standing in between you. It's a critical revelation. For when time is no longer passing in your consciousness, you will begin to see clearly. None of this can happen in time, because God does not function in time. None of this can happen until you remove the passing time concept from your mind. Then and only then will there be no veil over your eyes, no glass darkly. And what was Jesus talking about when he said, I would have gathered you? And he said to the Jews, what did he say? That there were scales over their eyes. These are the scales. This is the scale that's over our eyes. The world that we see in our judgment of the appearances is an illusion in time. And this is precisely the reason Jesus had to tell us that his kingdom was not of this world. So I'm going back to where I left off on the other page, okay? You will never find yourself, capital S, in time. You'll never find yourself in time. Oh, you can continue succeeding in your ventures where you are applauded by the crowd, the fame and the security, but is that sufficient for you? I've got a trophy full of full of awards over there. It doesn't do much for me. If it brings us more business, I'm okay with it. That's what I tell the guys. But don't stand there and stare at it. It's just a marketing tool. Okay? I tell them all the time, I want you guys to be out in front. I would like to just walk away from that up there and just spend time on this. That's my love. So, if that's what you want to do is get the fame, nothing can stop you. You can do it, and then you'll move right along on the time train right out of existence. I like to call it a train. It's a term used in business, in the business world. Somebody says, well, we're all jumping on the train. It means we're all following something we don't believe in. And he said, I'm not getting on that train. That's what you say. I'm not going to get on that train. Or they call it railroading it. It's a concept in business that's used quite frequently. So now, here's the pinnacle. We're going to read the Wisdom of Solomon again. And we're going to, well, we're doing really good. Great. For we, the ego, we are born in all kinds of adventure. We are born. And we shall be hereafter as though we had never been. For the breath in our nostrils are as smoke, and a little spark in the moving of our heart, which being extinguished, our body shall be turned to ashes, and the spirit of man shall vanish as the soft air. And our name shall be forgotten in time. And no man shall have their works remembered. Your entire life shall pass away as the trace of a cloud vanishes, and shall be dispersed as a mist that is driven away with the beams of the sun and overcome with the heat thereof. For our time is a very shadow that passeth away. Isn't that funny? They're using time all the time. They're saying time, time again. Time and again they're saying time. It's in there all over. And after our end there is no returning, for it is fast sealed, so that no man cometh again. No man can approacheth unto the bosom of Abraham. This is the great gulf fixed. No man can approach unto it. No man has seen God. And so in Solomon again, it says, our lives will pass away like a, and vanish like a fog. So I'd like you now to imagine, if we want to meditate now, if you'd like to, you don't have to, but it'd be nice if you, again, if you didn't, weren't recognizing me, so we'll we'll finish with a short meditation and then one verse I want to share with you. So imagine time as a vast ocean, like we're taught in the teaching of Noah. Imagine time as a vast ocean. Just close your eyes and rest in that vast ocean of time. If the water of the ocean of time came to your ankles and slowly rose up, up, up to your knees and up, up, up to your hips, if you felt this rising ocean, you'd say, I've got to get out of here, or else it's going to drown me. Without time, you don't have that reaction. You don't see the ocean. You don't feel the ocean. It's invisible. You don't touch it with your hands. But just as surely as we sense this ocean, mankind drowns in the ocean of time. Every day, we drown just a little bit more, but you simply are not aware of it. The entire human race, all past civilizations, all nations that no longer exist, have drowned in this ocean of time. And every person walking this earth today, though he or she knows it not, is drowning in invisible time. Every day we drown a little more in the ocean of time until we vanish completely. No generation escapes. Generation after generation after generation vanishes away. The world in time is a prisoner, trapped in an invisible ocean that has been drowning each generation for millions of years in time. Dying time is the core of all human existence. In temporary bodies, we float through temporary lives. And events in dying time appear and vanish. Everything and everyone drowns in invisible time. Always life seems to be passing by. Events and people seem to die. What we have mistakenly called reality seems to have no permanent substance, no permanent existence. We find ourselves dealing only with the changing phenomena, the changing conditions, the changing plans, while this ocean sweeps us along until we also vanish in the tide of time. And in that sense of time, we are born. And in that sense of time, we think we live. And in that sense of time, we think we die. We literally drown in time. And this is a universal experience, a universal hypnotism. And this hypnotism is the father, the beast, the devil. This hypnotism is the serpent of the dream of mortality. But now you can break this daily dying, this daily drowning into invisible time. And that is why Scripture has presented to us many allegories, which religion has failed to understand. And so now I want to finish with Isaiah 27:1. Just to prepare us a little more for this afternoon's lesson. It says in Isaiah 27:1, in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. the sea, the ocean of time. Who is Leviathan? Leviathan is the world consciousness that lives in time. And it says the Lord will slay it with a great strong sword. Hello, Isaiah 11:3 again. It says he will slay the wicked with his tongue. What? A message of righteousness. Will he slay those of us who live in time? Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest.
When I was young, I dreamed of being older. And now that I'm older, I dream of being young. I dream of a time when there was no time at all. And I wonder where the time has gone. When I was young, I dreamed of how I'd spend my life. Now that I'm older, I spend my life in dreams. The things I've planned, I've never done. The things I've done, I've never planned. And always, it's later than it seems. Ticking by, I can hear the enemy. Each day you add another to the things I'll never be. Oh, time, you're no friend to me. So once I took my time, now time has taken me. No one here can tell me where to go. Time, you're no friend to me. As you go ticking by, I can hear the enemy. Another to the things I'll never be. Oh, time, you're no friend to me. Oh, time, oh, time, oh, time, you're no friend to me.